Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. I'll read verse 1, and then please join with me in reading every other verse down to verse 7. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You can join with me, please, on verse 7 as well. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray, and then we'll be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the text of Scripture that you've led us to this morning. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to rightly divide it. And I pray that it would not be just an exercise in listening to someone, but that we would be in tune with what the Holy Spirit has for us, that we would be able to take and apply to our life immediately, because we know that the Word of God is definitely applicable in every generation, including the one we're in right now. We thank you so much that you have offered us a prescription for peace. And we know that this world has attempts to find it in so many places, but we know it really only comes in one place, and that's in a person. And so thank you for that, and I pray, God, that your leading would be known in this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The book of Philippians is one that if you have read it before or maybe heard a little bit about it, speaks of the theme of joy, the theme of joy. And what we must be reminded of, that's not my message today, but what we must be reminded of is the circumstances around the writing of this book. Paul was the author, the human penman of the book of Philippians, and he was in any place that you would not find joy when he wrote the book of Philippians. Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And might we be reminded of that as well, that as we think even today that in the world in which we live in 2021, I mean, surely by now things would have advanced to the point where people that preach the word of God would not be thrown in jail for it. Well, that has never happened, and it never will happen. It will continue. Trust me. I don't say that gleefully, okay? Because it could be me someday. And so, but that's where Paul is. Paul's in jail, and he's writing a letter back to a church in the city of Philippi. And all throughout this epistle, he speaks of joy. We read a verse today, verse 4. Many of you may have memorized that verse at some time. It's a little shorter one, so it's easier to memorize. Amen? I'm learning that now, that the shorter ones are easier to continue to memorize as well. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. The word rejoice is obviously to rejoy, continue to have joy. And so that's well spoken of in Philippians chapter number 4. But the Lord has led me specifically to a statement in verse number 6. Let's read verse number 6. I'll read it. You just follow along, please. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And here's where just really God has been, really for several weeks now, has been challenging me about this statement. Let your request be made known unto God. And you think about that. Does God know what I'm thinking? Yes, he does, if in case you were wondering. Thank you, Carmen, I heard that. Does God know what's in my heart? Yes, God knows everything about me. Can you hide anything from God? No, you can't hide anything from God. But yet Paul says, let your requests be made known unto God. Look, doesn't God already know? Yes, God already knows. He's sovereign. He's all-knowing. The Bible, the word we use for that is he's omniscient. But yet here, Paul says, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, that we are to be diligently letting God know what our requests are. So the theme for today's message is that statement, let your request known to God. Let your request known to God. The Lord blessed Anchor Baptist Church yesterday with our first ordination service. We've never had one, and I pray that we'll have many more. It was our first ordination service. It was not in a beautiful state-of-the-art auditorium, much like the one we're in right now. Praise the Lord. I love what we have. It was not in a place with beautiful pews and chandeliers and things of that nature and beautiful carpet. It wasn't in a place like that. It was at the Peace Arch Park, which is owned by the state of Washington. I mean, we had the ordination of a church from Canada actually on foreign soil, if you will. It's interesting how that could even happen. And again, you can think about it however you think about it, but I know my God does things for me, and I know your God does things for you too, and it's the same God, the God of the Bible. I don't mean to say there's different gods, but this is a quote I found. The Peace Arch Monument is one of the few landmarks in the world that's listed on the National Historic Registries of two different countries. That big white thing, you know, that big white arch. I think most of you have probably seen it. Maybe you forgot what it looks like, but you've seen it. That's kind of one you can't forget, like the big white rock, you know, the big rock there on White Rock. I saw that this week, went by there and got some good old fish and chips, you know. And let's study the Bible here, what we're doing here. It's a symbol of longstanding peace between Canada and the United States. It commemorates the 1814 signing of the Treaty of Ghent, in case you wanted some history today, which ended the War of 1812. And so for all these years, this monument and now these parks are there, and you can go into them and freely and come out of them freely. The Canadian side has been closed for a couple of years, but the United States side is still open, and so we were able to go there yesterday. And I appreciate you praying. There are so many different praises that came from this one service yesterday. And I'm speaking this morning, we'll get to the message. This is just kind of the introduction. A service that lasted just over an hour. So it wasn't a long service. We prayed that there would be a place available to rent within the park that would give us shelter. And God answered that prayer with a yes. We prayed that God would allow canopies to be set up in order to provide more shelter. And God answered with a yes. And we were able to set up six canopies right next to the picnic shelter. And some of you were there, and we did video, and we'll hope we'll have that available at some point. I don't even know that you'd see all of that in the video, though, but we praise the Lord. We prayed that the weather would be clear and free of rain. Must say that all week long, it was supposed to rain starting Saturday morning and go all the way through. It was supposed to rain. We prayed. As Saturday drew closer, the rain was forecasted. Each day we drew closer to Saturday, the rain was starting later and later in the day. Until Saturday morning, it said that the rain would not start until 2 p.m. Let your request be made known unto God. And God answered with a yes. It started raining after almost everyone was back in their car headed for home. Let your request be made known unto God. Our God is waiting this morning to hear our requests. Our God is waiting this morning to hear what he already really knows, but he's waiting for us to come to him. Why? Because he's like a father just waiting to meet the need of a child. I have three children, and if my children, two of which are married, if they came to me and said, I have a need, Dad, I need this, and I would try to do everything I can to meet the need of my son and my two daughters, our son and our two daughters, and I don't love them near like God loves you. And I don't love them near like God loves me. Let your requests be made known unto God. God is waiting to hear our requests this morning. Our God is waiting for us to ask, and we shall receive. You believe that today? That our God is waiting for us to knock, and it shall be open unto us. And our God is waiting for us to seek, and we shall find. I believe that God is able to do everything that he did in this book right here that we believe, and then some for us. But Paul said, let your requests be made known unto God. What are the requests that you have on your heart this morning? What are the needs that you have on your heart this morning? You can give them to one another, and we should. And we've been praying as a church for people to be saved and come to know Christ as Savior. And if you're not saved and on your way to heaven today, I would say this, that's the greatest need you have. The greatest need you have is not money. The greatest need you have is not a new job. The greatest need you have is not a new car. The greatest need everyone has today in this room, joining us online, is a relationship with the Holy God. And it can happen through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it can happen today. Just like that. Romans 10 and 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let your request be made known unto God. I ask you this morning, church family, when is the last time God heard your requests? When is the last time God heard your requests? Paul said, let them be known to the God, the creator God of the universe, who knows everything from the end, from the beginning, and yet, again, he's personal. He's not distant. He's not, oh, if you can just say the right thing and I'll be there. No, we come to God through Jesus Christ, his precious son, and we have that access to his presence that is just beyond even description today. My God wants to hear my request. Oh, I say to you today, let your requests be made known unto God. Let me give you today some thoughts about prayer. About prayer. Number one is the act of prayer. The act of prayer. Instead of worrying, that's what it means here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. And if you notice that verse there, be careful for nothing. That's what it really means for us today, is worry about nothing. Now, if I could tell you that I do that all the time, that I worry about nothing, I would be lying. Because I don't worry about nothing. I worry about many things. Even while I'm praying, God, help it not to rain. Help it not to rain. Yesterday, help it not to rain. Help it to be good weather. You know, and then, you know, an hour later, I'm worried, oh, if it rains, what's going to happen? And I'm praying. I'm saying, God, do this and do that. And then, the next day, we're just worried about it. And you know what? I tie my shoes mostly like everybody ties their shoes, if you know how to tie your shoes, okay? And anyway, I'm still working on it myself. But, I worry, and that's not right. I'm not supposed to worry. I'm not supposed to worry about anything because God has it under control. And whatever he's leading me to, he's already there anyway. Whatever God is leading me through, he's with me. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over, Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Instead of worrying, I should be praying. And the minute I start to worry, that's when I need to let my requests be made known unto God. You see the progression there? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by, what's the next word? prayer, verse 6. Prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known of God. When Paul talks about praying, we see three words. Let's look at them quickly, all right? So number one, big number one, the act of prayer. But underneath number one, let's look at these words. First is the word prayer. See that in verse number 6? Prayer. Everything by prayer. Prayer, what is this? This is a general word for coming into the presence of the Lord. It brings along with it the idea of I am acknowledging God for who He is. Who is God? God is the creator of the universe. Who is God? God is I'm created in the image of God. Who is God? He is the Almighty. He is the Eternal. He is before the beginning began to begin. There was only God. And He's saying, listen to this, let this sink in. He's saying to me, little old me, I want you to let me know what you need. I want you to bring your requests unto me. And I must acknowledge that He is the one. I am nothing. I am just some dirt put together. And I'm nothing, but in God, I am precious. It's kind of the apart from Him, I have no value. But in Christ, I have great value. Because why? Because then we have the robe of righteousness now, which doesn't belong to us, but it's been given to us by our Heavenly Father. And so prayer is that acknowledging for who God is. It speaks of adoration. It speaks of worship. It speaks of devotion. I was thinking about this. It is the picture of a weak child seeking the attention of a powerful parent. Think about it. In the eyes of a toddler, and they may not even quite understand it yet, maybe get a little bit older like Carwin over here, 7, 8, 9, 10 in there, and recognizing that there isn't anything that dad can't do. Dad can do everything. And that's the mentality that we have at a certain point as we look at our parents and we think, this is, dad'll take care of it. And if he won't, mom for sure can, right? Because mom knows a lot more than dad on a lot of things. Amen. We learned that. Listen to mom. Moms are very smart. They have wisdom way beyond dad sometimes, okay? Amen. Thank you. You know it. You know it, guys. I know it. Anyway, it's that idea of coming to them with the power that they have because that I can't get it done. I can't figure this out, but dad will be able to. Go back quickly to Psalm 6. Psalm 6. The first of the seven penitential psalms that David wrote. Psalm 6. It's really a song of confession. It's a song of humility. Listen to the words of David in Psalm number 6. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am what? Weak. Again, we're coming to the Lord with our requests. We're coming in the sense of prayer, and we're coming weak. We're not coming with, well, you know what, God? I've got these 9 things figured out, but I just can't figure out number 10. Could you take care of number 10? No, we're coming to God with, here's 10 things I have no clue about. God, I need your help with all 10 of them. He said, I'm weak. He said, my bones are vexed. Heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long, excuse me, return, O Lord, deliver my soul, save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. You ever had a long night before? Have you ever been up physically? Something's wrong. Maybe there's a burden on your heart. Maybe there's a son that's not saved or a daughter that's not saved or there's a wayward family member or there's just a heavy load and all of a sudden you just wake up. It's not just a physical groaning, but It's a groaning from the very soul that is in your body that this is just a burden. Literally, he says, I water my couch with my tears. Here's a broken person. By the way, it's good to be broken. Because pride prevents God from blessing. But humility unleashes all the blessings of God. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Verse 7, mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. Here we go. The Lord hath heard my, we're going to talk about this word in a minute, my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. That's a psalm to mark and go back and read and look at again another day. Prayer. Prayer is the believing, is the believer leaving the cares of the world behind and getting lost in the presence of God. It's about our worship. It's about our adoration. The greatest source of strength that you possess. And the greatest source of strength as a Christian that we possess is to be able to go into the presence of God and be restored. Turn over to Job 1 quickly. Job 1. We looked at the life of Job this morning in our devotional. If you get those devotionals, great reminder of the ways of God. They're way beyond my ways. Job chapter number 1. And verse 20, please. God's word says, Then Job arose. You don't know the context of Job arising. It doesn't mean quite as much, but Job arises after hearing all this news. One right after the other, and the worst part of it was his family was all killed. Look back up there quickly. In verse 18, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men and they are dead. Just boom, they are dead. What a message. He's been getting all these messages from people, your cattle, this and this and this. And the worst of it all was that here comes the worst of it all. Your entire family was together having a meal and the house fell in on them. And they're dead. That's the context of verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, I think to me, this is one of the most, I don't know how to describe it verses, but it's one of those in all of God's word. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. In other words, we came in with nothing. We leave with nothing. It doesn't matter how much you had in between. You're not taking any of it with you, are you? I'm not taking any of it with me. You know, this week I heard that I don't remember his name. Zuckerberg, I think, is his name, the Facebook guy. In one day, he lost $6 billion. $6 billion, B, like with a B. I'll never have even one of those Bs. I don't need one either, okay? He lost $6 billion in one day. Can I just tell you, though, he's not taking any of the billions with him. Wherever he goes when he dies, I pray he knows the Lord as his Savior someday, and he goes to heaven when he dies, and we should pray that for everyone. But the point is this, Job said, I came in with nothing, I'm leaving with nothing. Look what he said. The Lord gave. The Lord gave. You should think about that right now. You should be thankful for that right now. The Lord gave. How did you get anything you have? It did not come because of you. It came because of God. But I worked hard. Okay, all right, good. Who gave you that ability to work hard? Who gave you the strength to work hard? God did. The Lord gave. And so because the Lord gave, the Lord has the right to, look at verse 21, and the Lord hath taken away. You realize that these hands do not belong to me? If God wants to take away the use of these hands, he can. They're not mine. My feet do not belong to me. They belong to God. The Lord gave them to me, but he can take them away. Everything that I have is from the Lord, from God. It's a gift, by the way. Praise the Lord. He's been so good to us, hasn't he? But let's not be down when he takes away, because he can take away. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Then what does he say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's a beautiful song about that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So prayer, that's the first one. We've got to motor really fast here. Number two, the second word for prayer is supplication. As we go back to Philippians 4, the word supplication, what does this mean? This is an earnest sharing of my burdens, my needs, our problems. It's not, dear Lord, help all the missionaries. And that's fine to say that. I'm not making that light of that. But it is more of a fervency in going to prayer for the missionary, for the specific need that the missionary has. Fervent prayer about the needs that move the soul is what we're talking about in this verse. I must read to you. If you want to turn there, you may. But I'm going to have to pick up the pace here. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Oh, this was so helpful. Hebrews, James, there it is. Hebrews chapter 5. I hope this verse will help you. Look at what it says in Hebrews 5 and verse number 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. That's the kind of request. That's the kind of humility I need when I come to a holy God with strong crying and tears. Unto him that was able to save him from death. Think about it. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Who can save us from death? Only God can. Spiritual death. The Revelation, book of Revelation in chapter 20, verse number 14, tells us that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Excuse me. But here we see coming to God in humility, crying in tears. It doesn't mean you have to cry and have tears to have humility. I'm just saying that's what it's a picture of. That's what it's a picture of. And when we come to him in that way, there's a receiving. He will in no wise cast us out, the Bible says, but he's able to save us from death. That's where I'm headed today without Christ. If I don't have Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm on my way to that appointment with two deaths, physical and spiritual. Every man, every woman is on their way without Christ to two deaths, physical and spiritual. But when we have a confrontation with the Holy Spirit of God and we recognize Jesus Christ is God's Son, he died for our sins, he was buried, he rose again, and we receive him into our heart and life. Now, one of those deaths is canceled. When a lot of things are being canceled, I'm thankful that my spiritual death has been canceled by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that I'm no longer on my way to hell today, October 10, 2021. If I die tonight, don't worry about me. I'll be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be rejoicing in the things of the Lord like never before, and I hope you're joining me there. I hope you're ready for that. So supplication is, it's a fervency. James writes about it. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Romans 15 and 30, maybe jot that reference down. We won't take time to turn there. But it talks about striving together. Strive together. It's talking about a unity in prayer. It's why we say, let's pray together about Carolyn Sharp's brother, Larry. He's got COVID. Let's pray together about that. There's a unity in prayer. Let's pray together for Max Elliott. He's got a root canal coming. He needs deliverance from that. Hey, Brother Max, we're praying for you, all right? Man, anybody going into the root, he's not here. He's still taking that medicine for the infection, but pray for him. We're praying for his mama on Tuesday, but we're praying for Max too. Anybody that goes to the dentist needs laying on of hands or something. I'm not sure. I'll tell you, we've already talked about that. I'm saying we pray together. We supplicate together. And then the last word quickly about prayer that's mentioned in Philippians 4:6 is the word request. Is the word request. I think I got ahead of myself. This is the word that means specific issues. We've talked about this over the years. Praying specifically, not generally. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. So, number one is the act of prayer. The act of prayer. Number two is the atmosphere of prayer. We're back in Philippians 4 now. Notice what it says in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but, and notice these three words, in everything. In everything. That's the atmosphere of prayer. What are you talking about? Big things. What are big things? I don't know. I don't even really know these days what's a big prayer request. Little things. These are all alike. These are all important. What need do you have today? Let it be known unto God. What need do you have this week? I have an appointment this week. I have a meeting this week. I'm not saying this about me. I'm just thinking maybe we have meetings this week and I really need God to help me in this particular meeting or I have this coming and it's kind of a concern. I'm not to be careful about it. It means I'm not to worry about it. But in that meeting or in that appointment or in that thing that's coming, we see it's on the horizon. It's coming. Oh, by the way, praise the Lord for the Coates family. You've been praying for the Coates family. They had twin boys yesterday. Twin boys yesterday delivered. I don't know the names. Can't remember. I think Emma mentioned them to me, but I didn't write them down. But safe. I believe everything's just fine. And so, you know what? That's been something we've been praying for since we heard about it. Specifically. And so, the Lord just reminded me to give you that praise. Nothing is too big for God. But can I help you with something? Nothing is too small for God either. I think it was Seth. Was it Seth that was praying for basketball shoes? Yeah. You know, Seth's what, 2? He'll be 3 coming up. So his brothers got basketball shoes at Value Village. Right? Is that where they got them? Yeah. So Seth, you know, when you're third down the line there of sons, you know, What about me, you know? I'd be that way too. I was up here, and then I had 3 below me, so I don't know what it's like, but I can only imagine, because my brothers all got to wear my clothes. At least my one brother did. I don't think my youngest brother did. He's 8 years younger. So Seth says, let's pray about her. I don't know how it all went, but they prayed about it. You know what? Seth got a pair of basketball shoes at Value Village. You see, because there's no prayer request too small for God. A lot of times it's, oh, God, we need a building. And we do, and we pray for that. But wait a minute. What about something this week? What about that need? And sometimes it's a desire as much as it's a need, but come on, as parents, we even want to fulfill the desires of our kids. We want to be able to meet their desires if we think it's good for them. Some of their desires are not good for them, and we say no. That's why our Heavenly Father sometimes says no. Or he says, wait. He doesn't always say yes, right? Wait, and we keep praying, and in God's will, the atmosphere of prayer. We need to learn to pray about everything all the time. Pray when you sit down for a meal and give God thanks for this meal that you're about to have, and pray that the calories would be removed if it's something that has lots of calories. I don't know if you should pray that or not. Pray before you drive in your car or ride public transit. Pray before you read the Bible in the morning. Pray, and pray some more. God wants us in His presence talking to Him about every matter of life. Go with me in your Bible to Matthew 7, part of the Sermon on the Mount. Part of the Sermon on the Mount. I want you to know that for the last month especially, God has really been challenging me about this theme, letting my requests be made known unto Him. And I know better than not to pray specifically. I know better than that. I have to admit that sometimes my prayer becomes very general. And don't stop praying if it's general, but let's be thinking about this atmosphere of prayer. Look at Matthew 7 and verse 7. We kind of gave this in the introduction. The Bible says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find." And by the way, that word "seek" there and the word "ask" there and the word "knock" there, the when we look at them in the English, we can think, okay, so I'm going to ask one time, I'm going to seek one time, and I'm going to knock one time. But if you go back and you look at the words that they were translated from in the Greek language, then you're going to notice that these aren't one-time events. This isn't just, you know, if you really want to get somebody to the door and you know they're home, you don't just do that. Earlier this year, we had a fire in our neighborhood. It was one block over, two houses down and over, but I mean, from our house, you could just see all the flames were just, yeah, it was really a big fire. So on our street, Hornby Street, the house that was right behind the fire, some of the neighbors went up and banged on the door. They didn't just go up and, it took a while, but somebody was in the house. And they came to the door and got out. The house was ended up not having a problem, but you never know when flames are going to jump. And so the point is here, the verb tense of these words is not just one time. It's ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and seek and seek and seek and seek and knock and knock and knock and knock. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. You say, well, I've asked once, but that's not what it means. Keep asking. And everyone that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Nobody would do that. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts. What that's saying is, we're sinners, right? All of us are sinners, and yet we recognize giving good gifts. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more, and this is a question that Jesus is giving here, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that what? Ask and ask. Ask and ask. Oh, I just wonder, how much does God have in heaven that He's wanting to give to me? And I'm not asking. I'm just asking once. And I'm not only seeking once. I'm only knocking one time. And I give up and I say, oh, enough. It's just, it can never happen. And yet God is saying, hey, I'm just waiting for you to let your request be made known. I'm just waiting to hear from you. How passionate are you about whatever it is? And again, don't make it too big, but don't make it too small. God is in them all. The attitude of prayer. Number three, and lastly, the attitude of prayer. Let's go back to our text, Philippians chapter 4. Paul writes from prison. Paul writes from prison and says, hey, everybody, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What a testimony. The verse number 4, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Hey, I'm in prison, but I can rejoice. I'm in a very difficult time, but I can rejoice. But then he says in verse number 7, or verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything. That's the atmosphere of prayer. Large need, big, small need, whatever. They're all important to the Lord. Why? Because He's our Heavenly Father. In everything by prayer and supplication. Notice, here it is, with thanksgiving. That's the attitude of prayer. With thanksgiving. Our praying is to be done with an attitude of thanksgiving. I approach God with the worries and concerns and fears and burdens of life. And as hard as it is for me to say this, because I'm not always doing it this way, and God help me to do a better job of it, I take all of these concerns and burdens and difficulties and I bring them to Him and I thank Him for them. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The first before that, the verse before that is what? It's three words. Pray without ceasing. You see, that's the attitude. That's the attitude of our prayer. It's thanking God that we have a challenge right now, and we know that His challenge is good for us. God, Job said, God, you gave it, you took it away, blessed be the name, blessed be your name. That's the attitude of thanksgiving. Why do we do this? Because we have a God who cares about us. Casting all your care upon Him, 1 Peter 5:7, I believe, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We have a God who hears us. Call unto me. I said earlier, Jeremiah 33:3, I will answer thee. We have a God, most importantly, who loves us. Cares for us. He loves us. He hears us. Turn over to Romans 8, please. Romans 8, the attitude of prayer. God has directed your path today to where you are right now. Think about this. This is amazing. But God knew when that Treaty of Ghent was signed in 1814 that Peace Arch Park would be used for an ordination service 200 years later. God knew that. And I look at it like this. I believe God does everything sovereignly, perfectly, holy. But I believe God saw in advance, because that's God. God saw in advance what I could not obviously see. In fact, I couldn't even see that several years ago. But God saw that confrontation that was coming, and all the way from 207 years ago. Here we had this, because that's how God takes care. God works all things together. Here in Romans 8, many of you know it from memory, Romans 8:28, God's word says, and we know that all things work together for good. Don't quit reading the verse, though. Oh, good, everything works together for good. No, the verse says, to them that love God. Oh, yeah, that's in there. To them who are the called according to my purpose. No, that's not what it says. It says according to His purpose. But that is a verse that we can claim today. That is a verse that we can hold dear to us today. And many believers have, and many believers will. We as a people today need to learn to be thankful. After all that God has done for us, let us be thankful. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're just about done here. I hope God's helping you this morning. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. We're talking about the attitude of prayer. Follow along here and just see what it says here. Colossians chapter 3, we'll read just the verse 17. Actually, 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, that's a message in itself. Can you do what you're doing right now in the name of Jesus? Can you say what you're saying right now in the name of... Can you speak to your spouse like you're speaking to your spouse in the name of Jesus? Oh, boy, now we're really getting down there. You got to be careful. You got to be diligent. It's just like that. We could do something that we don't want to tag Jesus' name to this. That's what he says to do, though. Notice, giving thanks to God and the Father by him, by Christ. God is the Father. We're giving thanks to God through Jesus Christ. The attitude of prayer, it's a time of thanksgiving. I will say, if God never did anything for me, there would be more than enough reason to praise him for all eternity. If God never answered another prayer, God would be good. Psalm 100. Let's close at Psalm 100, please. Psalm 100. If God never answered the prayer that's on your heart, and I'd be careful to say that, but I trust God and I trust that he's good. He doesn't have to do anything for me. He shouldn't have to do anything for you for us to say that he's good. Psalm 100. Let's read it together out loud maybe this morning as we come to the end of this message. Psalm 100. Ready? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let your request known unto God. God already knows everything, yes. But he says, what are your requests? Prayer moves God. God moves men. God answers prayer. Answered prayer causes me to bless God with praise.